The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. To start the show, I want to say thank you to the Royal Bahamas Police Force for providing a space for me to work out my conflict with the wasp that broke my hand on the weekend. The Royal Bahamas Police Force was able to provide a space for restorative justice, and I promise to restore the wasp's home for them. I'm not saying that I broke it down. I'm saying there was a lot of rain yesterday, but I promised to restore the wasp's home for them, and the wasps promised to continue to be wasps and to bite people who come too close to their house. It is what it is. That's human nature or wasp nature. Anyway, we're going to learn to live together. Welcome to On the Clock on this Tuesday, the 13th of June, 2023. This Tuesday is a Sand Dollar Tuesday today, and joining us in studio is Mr. Luther Smith, Chief Information and Security Officer. And today we're having a Sand Dollar conversation. We're inviting the audience to call in, and Mr. Smith is going to attempt to address any questions about safety and security concerns and issues related to the Sand Dollar, central bank digital currencies. And we're going to have a conversation about what is required of us if we're going to be a part of this shift, right, in money culture. I think it's a great opportunity to speak to an expert in the industry, and I'm glad to have him here with us today. I have a lot of questions. I've already briefed him on some of them, and we're going to get to them. But first, I have some information, some Sand Dollar information for you. Today, this Tuesday the 13th, and tomorrow, Wednesday the 14th, central bank representatives will be giving out Sand Dollars at Super Value at the Top of the Hill Shopping Plaza on Mackey Street. And on Friday the 16th and Saturday the 17th at the Prince Charles Shopping Plaza. Show your Sand Dollar enabled digital wallet at the door and receive $20. Spend $18 or more in Sand Dollars at the register and get $5 back when you leave the store. For more details, visit any of the Sand Dollar social media pages or call 302-9880. Remember, the giveaway is limited to the first 100 customers to show their Sand Dollar enabled wallet at each location. Once many people as possible can experience the Sand Dollar. Also, we're continuing our Sand Dollar giveaways. If you want to play but you haven't enabled your Sand Dollar wallet yet, representatives from the 7 Sand Dollar wallet providers will be available at the Super Value giveaway to assist you in setting up your Sand Dollar wallet. So you have a chance to play the Sand Dollar giveaways. Every day for the next 4 months, we will be giving away Sand Dollars to digital wallet holders. Every day, two winners will receive $30 in Sand Dollars. To be eligible to win, you must have a digital wallet and answer the trivia question correctly. When you call in, give the producer your name and number, digital wallet provider, and your digital wallet address to transfer the funds to your digital wallet if you get the right answer. Listeners are restricted to one transfer for the duration of the competition. Again, you can only win once. So let me give you the numbers to call in and the text line. Remember, if you are answering the question via text, I need you to give me your wallet provider and your custom name or your wallet address. So it's to you. The numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720. 242-300-5720 is for people in the Bahamas, but not in New Providence. So I've got the first question for you. Mango is the national fruit of three countries. Mango is the national fruit of three countries. Name one of those countries to win the prize. Mango is the national fruit of three countries. Name one of those countries to win the prize. One more time, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720, and our text line is 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Now back to our conversation, sand dollars safe and secure. Good morning, Mr. Smith. Can you introduce yourself to the audience and tell us what your credentials are?
Yes. So, good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
And good morning, Bahamas. And let me say to you, I'm very grateful for the very kind introduction.
Yes,
very
sir.
Gracious introduction, actually. So, yes, my name is Luther Smith. As you would have indicated, I'm the Chief Information Security Officer at the Central Bank of the Bahamas. Basically, what that means is I have charge and responsibility for preserving the confidentiality, integrity, and availability of the bank's information and technology systems.
Okay.
So that being the case, SanDollar being a technology platform that falls directly under myself and my team's remit. In terms of background, I have a university degree in computer information systems. I'm also a certified information security professional and a host of other certifications, including Microsoft and Cisco. But I think the most I would have mentioned the most relevant as we release our conversation today.
See, there's a club in my church of Grammys, and I thought they were the security experts. They know everything about keeping yourself secure and safe.
Right.
They tell me that. They know everybody's business, and they know when to share it and when not to share it. And I figure we as Bahamians, we understand security and safety. It's just a matter of applying it to a new protocol or like a new system. These are things that we're familiar with. Go on.
Yeah, no, because just having recently looked at some statistics, I have to agree with you in terms of our preparedness and our readiness to adopt technology, our comfort level with it. And I think that's why SanDollar is perfect for us, because statistics show that roughly 90% of our population has access to mobile data. Now, again, those numbers may be a bit skewed because some persons have multiple cell phones, but at the end of the day, it shows that we're where we need to be in terms of our understanding and ability to interact with technology.
Right. We already have the technology in our hands.
We have the foundation.
Right. And we understand it, the value of it, the device.
Yes.
You don't, in fact, this morning I wanted to start the show with a different conversation about safety and security on the roads, right? We are so comfortable with our phones that we drive with them. You know, we conducting business while we're driving. It's just a matter of acknowledging that comfortability and then shifting the focus.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah,
indeed.
Absolutely.
Indeed. So, yeah, so if I may, I'll just open up with a few.
I see we have a caller. The lights just turned red. Let's see if we have a winner, and then we can really delve into the conversation. Good morning, caller. You are on the clock. Are you here to answer the trivia question?
I certainly am.
I am ready. I am ready for your answer.
But we need pleasantries and protocol. I have to say good morning to your guests, of course.
Good morning, sir. And good morning, Mrs. Smith. This is Mr. Weatherford.
Three countries.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Weatherford.
Good morning, and you know, we had this conversation with Lester Cox in 2017.
Ages ago.
Ages, and I suggested we do a Concoin and back of our natural resources, but we did what we didn't. You know, El Salvador beat us
to launch the CBDC. But do you have an answer for the question? Three countries hold mango as their national fruit. Which one is it? I mean, pick one.
I do not know which one is the mango, but I know we definitely are the banana.
Mr. Weatherford, I have to go. I thought you called to answer the question.
We have the banana because it seems, it appears, going down that banana republic. You know, but in all seriousness, right? When are we going to have the crypto? Because we're having the digital conversation on digital currency, which is great, but that can't spend in Miami. When are we going to have the crypto conversation, Aaron? You let me know, and I'll come on and help with that.
Well, thank you, Mr. Weatherford. Yeah. You have a great morning. Producer, you got to screen these guys a little harder because the mango is the easiest question on my trivia list for the week. Mr. Smith, let's get back into the conversation.
Yep. So to start off, let me just say, you know, the central bank takes security very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And that was one of the key aspects of this project when it was launched.
Mm-hmm.
And it also happens, coincidentally, as we're having this conversation today, it also happens to be Information Security Awareness Month within the bank, which is an annual activity. So again, I only say that to mention or to demonstrate our seriousness and our commitment to security. So when we bring a product, when we bring a service to market, that is top of mind for us. So some of the things that we've done in terms of the investments in technology, and I think you would have referenced or you have an appreciation for some of the underlying technology, which is DLT.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, at a very foundational perspective, this adds a layer of encryption and protection that arguably is more advanced than any other technology out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which in and of itself provides, makes the solution a bit more secure. Second to that, we've built a very resilient infrastructure, meaning which would allow us to recover in the event of, let's say, a cyber incident, in the event of some catastrophic environmental activity. So we've built a resilient infrastructure. And at the same time, we've made investments in our people, right, to ensure that they have the adequate level of training to be able to identify and respond to what we would consider to be malicious or anomalous type activity. And then I'll just layer to that, that aside from the core technology, we've made significant, substantial investments in monitoring tools to be able to detect, number one, detect, mitigate, and then respond to what may be considered malicious activity or
all
suspicious
right.
activity.
A couple of questions just arose for me. The first is the ability to respond, right?
Yes.
And building monitoring systems.
Yes.
At a cultural level, I think we still need to make a shift to be able to effectively use or take advantage of the full capacity of the technology that's available.
Yes.
To be able to monitor in real time is not just about the technology. It's about a cultural shift and a psychological perspective that you are not just waiting for things to happen to respond to in real time, but that you are engaged in a preventative monitoring process. So you're looking for red flags. Your systems or your software is designed to raise red flags. And that, for me, I think, is exciting because Bahamians are prepared for it, but they need a system to be able to operate in.
Exactly, and that's very proactive
mm-hmm.
in terms of how we're going about monitoring and securing our environment. So you're exactly right. And I would say this, we're ready. We're positioned for it. The technology is there,
mm-hmm.
and we have a cadre of professionals out there
mm-hmm.
that have embraced the learning opportunities to be able to support us in what we're doing. Now, let me be quite frank with you. We're not doing this all in-house. We're not doing this independently. We are referencing strategic partners that has
mm-hmm.
expertise, a wealth of expertise in this area to help support us in our initiatives. And we benefited from that. One of the things that we've done before any of the what we'd refer to as digital wallet providers or AFIs, authorized financial institutions, as some may refer to them, before they were onboarded to be able to provision wallets for SanDollar, they went through a rigorous cybersecurity assessment
mm-hmm.
to certify that they were operating within the standards acceptable by the Central Bank of the Bahamas, but more importantly, standards that are accepted internationally.
Right.
Okay. So we're not doing this in isolation. We're making references, and we're doing benchmarking where it's relevant and where it would provide value for the Central Bank and for the Bahamian people at large.
Absolutely. Two more questions that have arisen just quickly. The first is, this is a project that requires both private sector and public sector engagement, cohesion, and synchronicity, right?
Yes, yes.
I am a private sector actor. I have been building my skills, but I don't necessarily have a company yet, because I'm not sufficiently familiarized with the project, with the protocols, private sector actor. Who do I contact to be engaged? And what's the vetting process for a business, a firm, an entity to work with the central bank's CBDC Sand Dollar project?
Okay, so let me start off with this. First of all, in terms of any information or question, any information you may need, questions you may have, you can contact SDAU at centralbankbahamas.com. That's short for Sand Dollar Adoption Unit.
Right.
Okay. Or you can reach them at 242-302-9880. Okay.
Okay.
Now, to answer your question, in terms of because there's multiple tiers. So you have a merchant.
Yeah.
You have merchant accounts, and then you have individual wallets.
Mm-hmm.
And they work pretty similarly. So on the individual side, you would simply go to an authorized financial institution or digital wallet provider,
mm-hmm,
of your choosing,
yeah,
right? And all of them are listed on the Sandollar website, which is sanddollar.bs.
Yes.
So you would select one, you would download a wallet, okay? You would go through the KYC,
yeah,
questionnaire based on the wallet tier that you're selecting, because again, there's multiple tiers. I think $500 limit is the entry level, and then it can go up to $8,000.
Right.
So depending on the wallet tier, then there would be specific KYC requirements that would have to be adhered to. But I would say this is a very intuitive process. All of it, it's right on the website, and it's really as simple as selecting a wallet provider, downloading, mm-hmm, the wallet, and then...
Right. Now, I was thinking of businesses that want... So a business that may be supporting an AFI, a digital wallet provider, or a company that wants to provide a service to the entire network of digital... What's the vetting process? What type of security concerns does Central Bank have for entities participating in the project? And to give the audience a sense of the vetting requirements and the overall integrity of the system.
Okay, so we're crossing over two boundaries.
Okay.
Right? So with respect to MySpace, which,
yeah,
is purely information security and cybersecurity, right? For the AFIs to be a wallet provider, they would, as I would have alluded to before, they would go under, they would undergo a cybersecurity assessment.
Right.
Okay. If they're providing a wallet, that would be an application assessment as well as an infrastructure assessment to ensure that they're adhering to best practices.
Okay.
Now, on the merchant side,
yeah,
any verification of the merchant, they would be evaluated against the anti-money laundering and other KYC criteria,
okay,
that would be established and met, that would need to be met by the business.
Right.
But that's outside of the scope of
the central,
my direct remit.
Right. Okay, right. I understand.
Yeah.
I understand. But I give people a sense that not only is it a complex system, but there's rigorous attention being paid to the various levels.
Exactly, and layers within.
Yeah.
Within
this is awesome. Now, before I introduce my co-host, let me ask you one quick question, and then producer, I think we got a caller waiting to answer. We're using blockchain technology, right?
Yes.
What is the risk of a cyber breach? Referencing an earlier part of the conversation, what is the risk of a cyber breach generally with blockchain? I'm going to say this. I was shocked when we got the word that some foreign entity had hacked ZNS's service,
mm-hmm,
right? And I thought, well, listen, I thought that we were operating with a level of technology that was unhackable. Not because of the... cutting edge quality of the technology, because it was so old, who would want to hack? Chain is new. Is it hackable? And what's the risk of a cyber hack?
Yeah, so indeed it is. I mean, at the end of the day, we're talking about technology. So yeah. there are always risks yeah. that are associated with it. The thing is to do the assessment, to understand where the risk exists, mm-hmm. and then to put in place controls that could help either mitigate or prevent those risks from being realized. That's the position that we've taken. Now, inherently, DLT and blockchain is more secure than other types of technology right. sets, right? So mm-hmm. that's proven. That's
and
foundational.
See, if a Russian mm-hmm. hacked my system, I gonna hold my head, but I kind of expect right. it. If the boy that work in the corner shop hacked my system, I could be dead upset.
Yes.
I could be very, very concerned. One second. I think okay. we have a caller on the line, and then we sort of get back to
okay,
that.
Good.
Good morning, caller. You are ready to answer the trivia question?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great.
All right. The three countries in the world hold mango as their national fruit. Name one of them.
India.
There you go. We got a correct answer. Do you know the other two?
I don't know the other two, but I'm pretty sure Haiti has it as their national fruit as well.
Oh, wow. I didn't see that on the list, but the list was very Eurocentric, I'll be honest with you. I wanted to declare the Bahamas as having mango as a national fruit, but the Independence Cultural Committee said that I step in ahead of the program, so mm-hmm. I held it back. I want to thank you very much for playing the trivia game today. You gave the producer your information?
I did.
Absolutely. Great. I will forward your money to you at the end of the show.
I do have a question about the sand dollar, though.
Absolutely.
If you would entertain me.
Of course.
And is there a legal framework in place? Because a lot of people have concerns that the sand dollar can be easily controlled by the government. And they are reluctant to even sign on because of that fear of control being locked out of their wallet. Is there any regulations in place to prevent that or to give people more autonomy over their funds?
Yeah, so yeah, I'll answer your question in two parts. So yes, there is a legal framework. That's the short answer to the question. And then secondly, I think to dispel some of the paranoia that may exist with respect to, you know, big government, look at this as being no different than the level of access or visibility that is had as a result of you having any other type of bank account and or even a credit card. So the central bank in designing this has been very keen to address any issues related to individuals' personal privacy, right? And you can rest assured that the central bank by no means has the ability or interested in monitoring specific transactions related to persons, all right? The same visibility that is had as a result of you transferring monies from one account to another and or making a credit card or debit card transactions that would then allow Visa to have visibility of those transactional records. It's the same level of visibility that the central bank and or the AFIs would have relative to using sand dollar. So there's no cause for concern beyond what already exists in the ecosystem.
I think one of the issues is, hey, Luther, how are you doing? Good concern was what happened in Canada mm-hmm. when they had a truckers' protest and then they closed down the bank. Were able to, and it's unconstitutionally legally, they were able to close down their bank accounts. And I think there's a fear that, you know, if there is a government overreach, I know we're a smaller society and, you know, things are probably different here than Canada, mm-hmm. but I think that was a genuine fear for many people that, they, you know, how do you have kind of regulatory mm-hmm. Protection for government overreach?
And I would say even that's a pandemic state, mm-hmm. relaxed constitutional rules. I'm thinking of something even smaller. I am a miserable Bahamian, and I want a stench, right? I want a stench. I am in negotiations with a government agency. I am querying or challenging their determination of a bill that I owe, right, an amount owed. I may even have hired a lawyer and engaged a legal case about it. But I'm stenching on paying that bill, and I have a reasonable amount of funds in a digital wallet. And then the concern is, you know that I'm stenching, you know I have the money. What's the potential that the state would say, hey, we're going to not take or seize the money, but we're going to freeze this wallet until the matter is determined by the court or by the state. I think that's a more relevant example for Bahamians, a smaller society. But is there a legislative framework that governs the security or safety protocols, the operation of the sand dollar?
Yes, there is. And again, I would argue, what you allude to, the possibility and the capabilities of that to exist today outside of outside of sand dollar.
Right. So it's not a new.
It's not a new concept.
Right. In fact, the FIU, the Financial Intelligence Unit, has the capacity to seize or freeze accounts initially for a determined amount of time without a court order, and then after the time limit, they have to go to the court to request an extension of that time. So that capacity.
And again, I'm not a legal expert, but the basis, but basically what I'm bringing across is this. Sand dollar is not introducing something new in that regard.
Right.
So yes, the technology could allow for that, but that's not the intent. And again, that capability exists today with existing bank accounts. It's no different.
Absolutely.
So that's good to hear. I mean, what was interesting, you know, you have, you know, it has a lot of a complex infrastructure to operate. You know, I've been listening to, you know, the wallets and the various other things and, you know, the authentication protocol. So the worry is if there's any system downtime, you know, like, you know, we expect internet to be 99%. What if the system, is it robust enough for that system?
Well, that's a great question. I think our caller is still on the line. Ma'am, you had another question?
No, just listening to the answers.
Okay.
No, I have another question. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. Thank you for playing. And if you have another question, call in or text in at 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Thank you so much, ma'am. Absolutely.
Because the issue, you know, when cable's down, you know, it's not quite the same. But if you have an operational disruption, you could have financial losses.
Right.
How do you deal with that?
Let me try and frame the question in a way that IRCA could understand the question, right? Like lapses in utility services, right? A lapse in the Wi-Fi or data system, a lapse in electrical system, right? I am conducting a transaction, the power goes off, right? I was on Wi-Fi, there's no generator, my signal drops immediately, the transaction is canceled. Is there a standard protocol? What happens in the instance of?
Yeah, so we have what we'd refer to in the business as a business continuity plan, right?
Right.
Disaster recovery capabilities factored in, right? So we've built, as I would have indicated before, we have worked to build, and the project team has worked to build, a very resilient infrastructure, anticipating the same types of issues that you're speaking about now. Mm-hmm. So we have that. We have had, and we continue to have that top of mind for us, because we understand as we progress adoption, and I think in terms of wallet holders right now, we're looking at roughly about 100 odd thousand, right? So this is, adoption is growing. Mm-hmm. And obviously persons are going to become more reliant and more dependent on it as a means of service. So we have appreciated that, we continue to appreciate, and we'll continue to do risk assessments to assess the preparedness of our systems to respond to those types of incidents, right? There are multiple technologies at play. We're at some level are dependent on the ISPs as well for communications, right? So we're also looking to them to provide a certain level
of service.
But even in anticipating that we may potentially lose that service, we're looking to build in what we refer to as offline capabilities. Whereas if we're still able to transact up to a certain level. Now, obviously, you're not going to be able to spend everything in your wallet, but we'll provide some some limits which can be spent offline.
All right.
And once the system comes online, then we would do the
necessary. I have a caller, but I think that's a caller coming right now. Our Family Island audience will appreciate that. We sort of delve more into that at the other side of this call. Good morning, caller. You are on the clock.
Morning, Aaron. How you doing?
Good, thank you. How are you?
All right. I have a kind of crazy question.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible for my phone to talk to your phone?
Ah, without me knowing, right?
No.
Okay.
No. Two parties have decided on something, and they're going to agree to exchange money over the phone.
Yeah, that's exactly how the technology works.
Yep.
Right now, I'm a SunCash wallet holder, right?
Okay.
SunCash allows me to, I get like two different options. I can send sand dollars to people who don't have a SunCash account. So like it's Canoe, Island Pay, Money Max, Cash and Go, Omni. I don't want to miss any of the others, Island Pay. Right? I can send money to them via sand dollar, right?
That's correct.
Now, as a SunCash customer, I can send money to another SunCash customer directly from the SunCash app. So, like, my aunt is Ona Bailey, and she still has made the best cakes ever. But I ain't paying no VAT on her cake. So I sending her the money through SunCash. from SunCash to SunCash.
So when this happens across the board, in terms of these apps, is that when the game changes?
What do you mean?
Like, if I got a phone, anybody else who has a phone and they have an app.
Yeah, you can send money to them.
Yes.
In fact, I am about to get a T-shirt printed with my QR code on it. So when you see me in the road, you could open up your phone and send me $5.
All right.
Something wrong with you?
Yep. I mean, I can give a dollar to the church for every $5 you give me.
But
what it does, sir, is it makes it easier for people who want to fundraise, right?
Yes.
I'm on the road with my T-shirt on. I want you to donate to my cause. You could just open up your phone in from the passenger seat because you don't use your phone while you're driving. You open up. You get your passenger to open up your phone. Take a picture of my QR code, and then you could instantly send the donation, not the money, the donation to the charity that's being profiled.
So to the caller, Aaron, if I may, to the caller, that's one of the key benefits of the sand dollar. You know, where it's safe, and it's an easy alternative to cash. And if we're saying it's safe and it's an easy alternative to cash, then yes, being able to transact is... just as you would have said, a simple wallet-to-wallet transfer between pairs.
Mm-hmm. And for people in the Family Islands, right, that have limited access, you don't need a bank to be able to send money to someone, to pay for something, to send money to your family on the island. And for me, that's been the biggest impetus for engaging the project, right? Doing Family Island trade, traveling to the Family Island, and understanding the inequity of life on the Family Island compared to New Providence.
Yeah, which is largely in part due to our archipelagic nature, right? And again, just as you said, Aaron, that was a huge part of the vision of why Sand Dollar was realized for the Bahamas.
Yes,
and I think the leadership of the bank and the likes of the governor ought to be commended for taking this very bold step and being the pioneers of this throughout the Caribbean and in a large part of the world.
Yes, caller.
Yeah. The average businessman in India.
Yes.
He bypasses the whole banking system.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And what it does when we talk about the question is, can the Bahamas collectively move? Can we the pace of global commerce? And because of the archipelagic nature, we have not been able to keep pace, right? Not and equitably, collectively, have not been able to keep pace with the pace of commerce globally. What sand dollar does is enables...
Exactly. Just yeah. I was going to say, hey. It enables that.
You know,
it now
right?
enables the broader
engagement
across the family islands for each and every individual to now have a more balanced opportunity to participate in the economy.
Caller?
Hey, is there legislation in place already, right? You know, say, you know, if these platforms start to talk to each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the activity is such that the government has to create legislation to keep up with the rate at which this thing is expanding.
Yeah.
I believe it'll be our first time.
Yeah. So there is, again...
Thank you, Paula.
Yeah, there is legislation in place, and I'm sure that those charged with that responsibility will continue to review it to ensure its appropriateness and applicability to the times and the innovations that are taking place.
Absolutely.
So I have no doubt about that.
I would like to make a non-sector plea. I think we need I love this term, a benevolent donator, not dictator, a benevolent donator... to create a think tank in the University of the Bahamas, right, so that we can empower a group of thinkers, students, academics, scholars, stakeholders, to drive a think tank, to ensure that we are engaging at the pace of the quantitative engagement, right, real-time systems. But it requires resources, because that means that you're going to sequester a large amount of talent to focus on that project. But because it's money, I think that it should be prioritized. Yeah. And because it's both a public and private sector project, to use a loose term, it requires all sides stepping up, putting resources in to ensure that we have the resources, which is the human resource, mm-hmm. the thinking power, to stay on top of the game.
I think one of the important things is, you know, for the Bahamas to have that financial stability, you know, pegging our dollar and all those things. So I have actually a question for you. You know, there are some other sort of financial stability risks of CB, central bank digital currencies, and that they could potentially lead to a bank deposit outflow. So say, for example, if consumers and businesses decide to hold the CBDCs instead of traditional bank deposits, it could lead to decline in retail deposits potentially, which could reduce the funds available to banks for lending, and that could potentially increase the cost of credit. So I'm just curious whether that's a potential risk that you see, or if we introduce them too quickly, maybe that's something that could happen. But is that something that you've considered at the bank forward?
Yeah, so I can tell you based on the... discussions that we're having, all of these, all of those scenarios would have been considered. And again, you know, I won't delve too deep into it because, again, it's a bit outside of the security space. But being a part of the project, yeah, I have some understanding in terms of where the bank is moving with this. But that's one of the key reasons why the bank has engaged the commercial. Because the idea is that this is not to be in competition with the commercial banks in their line of business. What this is intended to do is to provide an inclusive, safe, and secure means for Bahamians to transact and to participate in the financial space. That is it. So I think you can rest assured that the central bank, through its other arms of business, be they currency departments, bank supervision, and the likes, will be watching that very closely. But by no means is this intended to interfere and or be a disruption
to the existing retail
banking space.
Okay, good. That's good to know.
Absolutely. Producer, let's go to a break. When we get back from the break, I'm going to throw out a second question. I want to say congratulations to the Miami Heat. In true Bahamian... Damn, Mr. Smith, you thought I was going to say something else, eh? In true Bahamian fashion, you came back from well in the back. You came to second place, and we in the Bahamas going to celebrate you like you was first place. I mean, I only been to Denver, Colorado once for 30 minutes in the airport. I've been to Miami 8,500 times. So obviously, the whole of the Bahamas was pulling for the heat last night. Producer, take us to a break. When we get back from the break, I'm going to throw out our second trivia question from the day for the day, and then we are going to continue our conversation about sand dollar safety and security with Mr. Luther Smith, the Chief Information Security Officer at the Central Bank. We've got some more questions coming your way, Mr. Smith, right after the break.
Almost there.
Sarge, that's you.
Well, who else?
Beige walrus was dying on the sidewalk.
I'm preparing for my 4x100 meter debut.
More like 1x1, because the other 99 killing you.
Funny, the Bahamas game's coming July 7th to July 15th, and Grandbahama gotta win this.
Well, you know that.
Email info at thebahamasgames.org or call 322-1029 for more information.
Which island is gonna win?
It's that time again!
Sign up now for the Michael Scooter in Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic, taking place July 24th to the 30th at the Hope Center and the Kendall Ice Exchange. Call 601-4842 for more information. Powered by the Bryce Newbold Foundation.
It's game time!
After a hurricane or storm, get the Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide. The guide will tell you where to purchase building and cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, which auto shop to go to after driving through flooded streets, and much more. The Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide will help to make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches and after it departs. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity plus 15 radio commercials. Contact us today, 302-2300, 302-2300, or call your account executive. Will you be prepared?
Boy, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, boy, just a hard day, boy.
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking with everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Boy, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody saying nothing. Boss man, just tell this boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I is a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No, boy. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know who you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Pay me for my blood, water, pay me. Pay me for my son and my daughter, pay me. Pay me for my blood, water, pay me. Pay me for my son and my daughter, pay me. I come to collect, everything that you owe me. Come to collect everything.
Good morning. Welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. I come to collect everything that you owe me, and you could put it right here on my digital wallet former. We don't even have to go to the bank, Grammy. You could just put it right here on my digital wallet for me. Because the number one reason why Grammys don't pay you back is because they don't want to stand on that bank line. And ain't nobody going to argue with them about, I don't want to stand on the bank line either. Welcome back, Mr. Luther Smith and Mr. Mark Palm. I see we have a caller on the line waiting for us. Good morning, caller. You are on the clock.
Oh, sorry.
Good morning. I give you 2 seconds. I hope you're going to go put the money on my son's cash digital wallet.
Could I? So one of the things, you know, being as, you know, the Bahamas being as it is, one of the threats that I see is what you would call an insider threat, right? Mm-hmm. We talked a lot about, you know, the cybersecurity things that you're doing to stop the, you know, all those types of things, the technical stuff. But mm-hmm. what's the risk of an employee or a contractor accessing sensitive information? I think, or using that their access privileges to commit fraud or enable cyber attacks. Because I think for a lot of Bahamians, they're probably more worried about somebody within the organization mm-hmm. Doing something. So that's my question to you. How do you deal with that insider threat, or how are you addressing it?
No, thank you for that question. And that's a very real risk, right? Mm-hmm. But there are a number of ways that we address that. So number one, there are both policies and procedures that are in place that ought to govern our behavior. And as central bankers, there is a very strict code of ethic that we ought to adhere to, right? So that's at the foundational level. Policies, procedures, codes of ethic, obviously, you know, and other fraud-related matters, right? But beyond that, understanding that there's still a human risk, and it doesn't even have to be intentional. It can very well be a mistake, right? Unintentional act, right? But at the end of the day, as I would have alluded to earlier, we have put in place a very robust information security, cybersecurity monitoring solutions to look for anomalous, to monitor access privileges that are outside of the scope of a user, right? And then even beyond, you know, we're talking about some of the more advanced tooling that we're putting in place. But even if I peel that back a bit, even in terms of access control, we operate on the fundamental premise of least privilege, meaning that you're only given the level of access to a system that is adequate and suitable or enables you to do your job. That's it. Okay, and we have those systems assessed and attested to, we have those access rights assessed and attested to on a regular basis, mm-hmm. right? And then we layer that with additional mm-hmm. monitoring. But again, to your point, I mean, that's a very real risk. It's not going to go away. At the end of the day, we mm-hmm. need to rely and depend on people. We have to put some level of trust in people. But trust, but verify, as they would say. In our case, we trust and we monitor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's this cultural space, right? The people space
yes.
is so important. Against that, despite the anecdotal discourse about corruption in the country, we know that there are spaces in our country that are recognized globally for the level of integrity that's found within the system. Investors continue to come to the Bahamas yes. because there is a guaranteed level of integrity within the system. And I think that culturally, there are things that we may be prepared to do to each other that we will not allow to happen to a system. Like my cousin may just eat the mango, you know. They know I tell them don't eat the mango. They may just eat the mango. Certainly my grammy can eat the mango, and there's a protocol. She doesn't tell me the protocol. The protocol is, child, this may be my last mango season. Right? So you know what's going to happen. But we also understand that those same people go to work and protect the systems that they work
Precisely.
In.
Precisely.
At the same time, though, at the cultural level, to ensure the safety and security of a national system like this, we, the ordinary people, also have a role to play, mm-hmm. right? And that is that we're modeling, in particular to young people, that there is a standard. There is a standard for yes. integrity. There is a standard for mm-hmm. there's a standard for professional discipline mm-hmm. and integrity. And it's up to us as individuals to continually model that. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you, I'm from the Bahamas. This is a pirate town. But even pirates had a code.
Yes.
Oh, and they stuck to that code, right? And so it's important for us as stakeholders to model to each other, and in particular to children, the standards of integrity, not that we expect, that we need for the country to function. It's not a commitment to money and commitment to systems, it's a commitment to each other. The system called us. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I don't think we have more time for another question. I think it would be unfair to throw the question out with only a few minutes left. But I do have some questions, some fast, rapid-fire questions for you, sir. The first is, what should I do if I suspect a security issue? Like, funds are missing. I suspect funds are missing from my wallet.
All right. So first thing you should do, number one, you want to report it. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Let me start off with this.
Change your passcode.
Right.
Because if you feel as if there's some activity going on that you may not have been aware of, perhaps your device may have been compromised and you're not aware.
Right.
So you'd want to take some very fundamental steps and change advice.
Right.
After that, you want to notify your onboarding agent.
Your wallet provider,
Your wallet provider, as well as the Central Bank of the Bahamas with the information that I would have provided to you.
Okay, now, I should check my transaction record, though, right? Maybe I should pause, check my transaction record, make sure maybe I was a little tipsy and I paid for too many drinks, or maybe I gave my friend my phone and said, pay for the drinks.
Well, I probably should have started off
right, and they pay for four or five, right?
Agreed.
No, but no, agreed. Change the password first.
And the thing is, too, no, I'm glad you mentioned that, because one of the things we need to mention, too, is that's one of the benefits of the Sandal as well. It has a complete audit trail in terms of activity of spend, right? So both credit and debits, right?
Yeah.
So again, no, you raise a very valid point. Perhaps you need to revisit and check and see.
Change your password first, though, and then check the transaction record. And if you're still suspicious, call the onboarding agent and the central bank, and we'll repeat those numbers right at the very end of the show in 1 minute. Someone I don't know is requesting funds from me.
Ignore. Okay. Ignore and report.
There you go. Someone asked me to use my Sand Dollar account but won't tell me why.
No.
Just tell them no.
Just
change the passcode just in case they may witness you using it. I lose my phone or someone steals it. Let's say I lose the phone and I can't recover the number for some reason.
Right.
I need to change the number attached to my wallet right away, right?
Not necessarily, because there's a wallet ID that's associated with your Sand Dollar account.
Right.
So once there's no need to change that. What you would want to do is you'd want to change the passcode or any other authentication mechanism that you have associated with that ID.
Okay.
That's the extent of it.
All right. Someone attempts to access my wallet information. Just change it.
How are they going to do that? They would have to have access.
I mean, things just happen.
Just change it.
Right. And these are the sort of things that pop up. Right. And to give people a degree of confidence, right?
Yes.
Okay, this is just what I do. All right. What are some security-related terms we should familiarize ourselves with?
All right. So top of mind, I would say most important right now as it relates to this technology, multi-factor authentication.
Yeah.
Okay. So basically, that's just having more than one way to identify yourself or to present yourself to your device and or wallet to be able to be given access.
All right.
Second thing is encryption. All right. Encryption is pretty much just converting regular text into code.
Pig Latin.
Exactly.
There you go.
Decryption, obviously converting that code into its original text. So those are two of the fundamental terms that I think behemoths ought to start to get comfortable with as it relates to you interacting with this type of technology.
Do you recommend people use face authentication accessibility for their phone? Do you recommend they use that type of authentication for a device that holds their digital wallet?
Yes, I believe so. I think it's one of those that's a bit less likely to be compromised. I think passcodes are more easily able to be shared or inadvertently written down and then somehow ending up in the wrong hands.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, by all means, face recognition. Obviously, we understand that there's some potential for abuse there as
right.
well, but it's less likely with facial recognition.
So when you set up your facial recognition, wear makeup. When you sleep and don't wear no makeup. These are the conversations that we must begin to have. Yes, sir.
And if I may just stick a plug there, there's some other fundamental things that users should adhere to as well. So number one, you want to protect your wallet with a passcode. We said that already.
Yeah.
But you want to keep your applications and device updated.
Uh-huh.
So your iOS, when those iOS come out, you want to update your phone. And then lastly, you also want to update your wallet application. So look out for the updates for your
mm-hmm. phone
and your wallet.
Because they run together.
Exactly. Yeah. And there are security vulnerabilities that may be identified later on that are not present now. So that's important.
Mm-hmm. No, this is a big thing because I'm prone to ignore updates. I like this version. I'm not prepared to navigate a new version. But I had an issue accessing my account because I didn't update it. I think this is very important.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Mr. Smith. I may beg the Sand Dollar Adoption Unit to send you back next month for the second Tuesday in the month, which is going to be our...
It would be my pleasure.
Absolutely. Our Sand Dollar Tuesdays with Mark Palmer, Aaron Green, and Mr. Luther Smith, our Chief Information Security Officer. Thank you very much, sir, at the Central Bank. Absolutely. You guys have a great day. Guardian Radio AM with Cecil Newry is up next. I'm going to get me some T-shirts printed, people. It's time to do some fundraising. I mean, some fun, F-U-N, raising. You guys have a great day.
My sister, pay me. Pay me for my brothers and my sister.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.